I don't have this. I don't need it. I'll just stay put. I won't wander. Well, we'll see about that, right? I'm just so used to turning this on, my iPad, and I'm not going to use it. I don't know why I turned it on. You know, it's hard to get old. You get little pains and things that just come out of nowhere. And I have one, not right now, but, you know, it'll probably be about 0.3, and I'll go like this. I'll try not to, okay? But I have this thing that just kind of, it's right here. And it's like somebody just stabs me in the back a little bit, you know? Like, well, okay, stop. We'll just get that out of the way, right? Yeah. Yeah. You no, don't make promises you can't keep, you know. That's just a, so an ecstatic utterance. No, I mean I've never spoken in tongues, so it's not like I'm gonna start. Sometimes for no apparent reason I just start speaking with like a Swedish accent, but that's probably not the same thing. I just said that for Chris. Yeah. That would be spiritual gifts light. You know, you don't need an interpreter, and I won't go on. Okay. My last sermon, does anybody remember what it was about? This is... All right. I was just checking on my effectiveness in the pulpit. No. I had kind of 2 points. You're either... Wow. Way to go. Okay. So that sermon, I got halfway through. And now, it's the rest of the sermon. But yeah, the Bible talks about our identity in Christ 216 times. 200, that's a lot of time. That's like a major theme in the New Testament, is our identity in Christ. So if you miss that, you're going to fail the test, basically. Anybody get Pinterest? I got one yesterday that it was an exam, and you may have gotten it too, because we all get these same things, I guess. And the guy had written, like, the first paragraph of the exam, and, you know, an essay question. And then the second paragraph was all about why he was disinterested in the class. And I know you probably don't read this anyway. And he just went on and started doing things with rhyming words that had nothing to do, you know, just filling up space, A minus. So he was right. You know, the guy grading probably read the first few sentences, made perfect sense. Good work. And didn't bother to read the rest, and it ended up on Pinterest. So that was good. But he passed the test, but he really kind of failed. And, you know, sometimes we can look like we're passing the test, but we're ultimately failing. So you can do all this stuff. You can go to church. You can look good. You can memorize Bible verses, you can go to a, you can do all that stuff. But if you're not ultimately in Christ, it's just for show. You know that old, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, and all that. But you can't fool the Lord. You ultimately can't fool the Lord, and it's between you and Him. Not between you and me. Or you and Dave, or you and anybody else here, it's between you and the Lord. So we're all born in Adam. We all inherit that nature from Adam. And it's, you know, we're physically alive, but we're dead to God. That's what being in Adam is. We're physically alive. You look around, everyone here is physically alive, but When you're born in sin. You're dead to God. You're born in Adam. But what happens at the cross of Jesus Christ, is he trades places with us. And he literally trades places with me. So all of the death that's due me, all of the shame, all of the condemnation I deserve for my sin gets passed to him. And that's the end of my sermon. Really, if you get that part, you don't need the rest of this. All right, let's have a test now. All right. Tea time. T-E-E for Dave, T-E-A for the rest of us. But so if you're in Christ, you're in Christ's position. Christ took your position. He suffers and dies. We get blessed. I mean, that's an amazing deal, as deals go, isn't it? So, I think I said this last time, but, you know, I had a class once in seminary, and this was the greatest teacher. He didn't believe in games around test-taking, because that's usually what, you know, if you're worried about grades, you're like, is that on the test? Is that going to be on the test? Is that on the test? You're always, there's always somebody, is that going to be on the test, right? Been in those classes. Well, this guy said, if you come to all my classes and you study for the test, you'll get an A for sure. Because in the class, every time he got to something important, he'd say, I'd remember that if I were you. Major hint, right? So every time, and just about everybody who wanted an A got an A because you just took those notes. You didn't take every note you could take. You just took those notes. But they were the most important things. And they were the things that he thought were important for you to learn. And, you know, that's what Scripture is. Scripture is the most important things for us to learn are in Scripture. Things that are way beyond us, why bother writing down? You're not going to get it. Take that on faith. But the most important things are in Scripture. So if you know Scripture, you know everything that's important enough for God wanting you to know. It's pretty simple. Try to make it more complicated. I've sat in a lot of theology classes during seminary, and it's incredibly complicated and all these different various viewpoints. But Scripture gives us what we need to know. But you do have to go to class. You do have to read it. Don't just take somebody else's opinion. Back to this. In Adam we are cursed, but in Christ we're blessed. And here's our passage. Ephesians, again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so you can read it in the ESV. It'll be a little bit different. This letter is from Paul. You are so, okay, you're staying after. Right. Any other questions before I begin? Any? No. All right. Vince, any questions? No. Okay, good. I knew I could count on you. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. It's really an amazing passage. It's one of the greatest passages in the New Testament for identifying God's purpose for us. And can you imagine getting this in a letter? I got this letter from Paul today. But that's what it is. He sent this letter out and they shared it around. I mean, this is the most profound truth you'll know about Jesus Christ, who he is in relation to us, who we are in relation to God. So, every spiritual blessing, some of them we know now in our walk with the Lord, some of them we won't know till we get to heaven. And we just won't. I mean, you can speculate on all of that. Some of it we know because it's described in Revelation, other places, but we won't really know till we get there, till we see him face to face. So, first, in Christ, I am chosen. I'm chosen. Were you ever not chosen? You know, when you're out there in those pickup baseball games like I was, and I was always the littlest guy. When I was in ninth grade, I was 4'11". I was the littlest guy. That's how 4'11". Yeah, I was in ninth grade, and so imagine how small I was when I, you know, even younger than that. But I was always, you know, they'd line people up, you know, according to height, and I would just go over there. I mean, I would like, oh, let's see, you know, how tall are you? No, I just go over to the end. And me and Stevie Foster, we were the last two guys, and we were pretty close. But, yeah, those games where you get chosen because of some physical quality. And I had a long track record of not getting chosen. Then, plus, I didn't know how to do anything anyway. I was crummy at baseball. And, you know, it's just kind of a bummer. So I kind of grew up with that bit of a legacy. And then, all of a sudden, I grew like 4 or 5 inches in 1 year. And then I was just taller. But that was about it. My clothes didn't fit. So, different legacy. But chosen. You get chosen. I remember when we adopted our son, Ben. And they called us up. And they said, we have a referral for you. That's what they called it, right, Lois? A referral. So we go over there, and they have this little picture about this big of a little shriveled up baby. And they said, you want this kid? Yes, we chose him. We could have said, no, we want the less shriveled version. But we chose him. And we've always told him that, we chose you. We prayed for you. We named him probably before he existed. He was Ben already in our prayers, before he was even around, before we knew him. And we chose him. Scripture we had up on the Jeremiah passage, Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before you were formed. You were in my mind. With Ben, he was in our mind before we ever saw that shriveled up picture of him. We were praying for this kid. When you think of how can God know, and before, well, we did. As far as I know, we don't have the attributes of God, although that one probably we do on a much smaller scale. But can that be known? Of course it can be known. Of course it can be planned. So he chose us. I mean, what a powerful point that is. He chose us. And he wanted to. It wasn't an obligation. He wasn't required to. It wasn't, he didn't get his God license because he wanted to. It's an amazing thing. I'm going to say that a lot, but it's true in this passage. It's just one amazing thing after another. Now, I used to, there was a song, I am unworthy. Do you remember that one? I am unworthy, the least of his favor, but Jesus left heaven for me. And I was used to think, oh man, that's such a bummer. I'm unworthy, I'm unworthy. Well, I am unworthy. Actually, I am unworthy. We're all unworthy. But he chose us. He loved us. Second, in Christ I'm adopted. In advance, he, again, a lot of advance work going on here. He adopted us. He brought us, through Jesus Christ. So we're adopted into his family. I was reading that about 40% of kids go to bed without a father. And some people have dads and the dads aren't there. And God, designed the human experience of a family to provide belonging to each other. But it's not nearly as good as the heavenly family that we're going to have. And that's the perfect family. In heaven, there's no marriage or whatever. We're not given to marriage in heaven. Why? Because you already have the perfect family. God's the Father. And we're all his children. I'm not having a pain right now. I'm just looking for my spot in my notes. But if I start all of a sudden having a Swedish accent, oh well. Number three, in Christ I'm forgiven and I'm free. So I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm forgiven. All on the test, by the way. Chosen, I'm adopted, I'm forgiven. Here's the verse, and He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us. We so often concentrate on what's wrong in ourselves. We concentrate on our sin, on our selfishness. We naturally, as a child, I remember growing up where they would have altar call after altar call, and I'd go up every time because I had sinned. In the meantime, it was like it was unnecessary. I didn't know that. I didn't realize it. I just felt guilty, so I just kept going forward all the time. And, I mean, it wasn't that I didn't have anything to feel guilty about, but that wasn't the point. The point is Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. For yesterday's sins and tomorrow's sins too. And that's not that we go about sinning like crazy because Jesus paid it all, but Jesus paid it all. We don't have to keep giving our heart to Christ and giving our heart to Christ and giving our heart to Christ. It's done once and for all. Jesus doesn't have to keep being crucified over and over and over and over and over every time we sin. It's done once and for all. The thing is, God never punishes those who are in Christ because Christ got the punishment. Now, do we punish ourselves? Yeah. Do we receive the consequences for bad choices? You bet. And God teaches us things through those bad choices and the consequences, the pain that we inflict on ourselves, and shows us more and more how holy he is. You know, if we're in the Word, if we understand that. Otherwise, we're just going forward all the time, and we're not learning anything. And that's what sanctification is about, this learning, learning, learning that you're in Christ. You're perfect as God sees you, and yet you're learning and learning and learning more about God's holiness all the time. Fourth thing, in Christ I can know the will of God. In Christ I can know the will of God. Now, he's not talking about the will of God for who you should date, who you should marry, what car you should buy. It's not that detail of the will of God that he's talking about in this passage. But what he's talking about is the will of God is about how a good father blesses his children, and that good, ultimate good father is God, and how he blesses his children, and why he wants to do it. Because he gets a kick out of it. Pleasure, his own pleasure. That's what he enjoys. You enjoy giving your kids gifts? Thank you for that candor. It is, does get kind of tricky. She got that, he got that. You know, it gets to be a little bit of a... Yeah, I remember when we picked up Abby at the airport. What did we give Ben? A bike or something? You know, it's like, well, we picked up Abby. We got Abby, but you got a bike. Didn't we give him a bike? What was it? A tricycle. Well, a tricycle to be exact. So, yeah, there's something in it for you, Ben. You know, we don't want to get into that. It's like, well, if you're in Christ, there's something in it for you. That's not how we think about these things. In fact, the blessings that we have in Christ, we could never legitimately get on our own. Things like grace and peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit. People try to come up with those on their own, but they can't do it. They don't last. And they try to have some ecstatic experience, but it doesn't last. And then they have to come up with the next ecstatic experience. And that doesn't last. So then they have to come up with the next one. And I love watching YouTube. I love watching all this stuff. And I've been watching people live and die climbing Mount Everest the last few days. And why do they do it? Because it's there. But they do it, and people say, it's when I feel most alive, when I'm doing something really dangerous. Like, wow, how often do you get to feel really alive? How crazy are the things you have to do to feel really alive? You know, do you have to, like, get on a motorcycle and go over 20 buses to feel really alive? Do you have to climb Mount Everest to feel really alive? Do you have to go skydiving to feel really alive? How about if you're in Christ and you have peace in your heart? You feel really alive? That's the will of God, that we feel really alive in Him. Five. Okay, what was one? This is you're chosen. Two, you're adopted. Three, you're forgiven. Four, know the will of God. We're losing some here. Five, in Christ I have an inheritance. In Christ I have an inheritance. Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. So, imagine you get a letter in the mail. This actually happened to me. And we got an inheritance from my uncle. Do you remember this, Lois? Uncle Nels, he owned a business. It wasn't a big business, but it was a business. So he, when he died, his wife gave all the grandchildren some money, which was cool. You know, not expecting it at all. And so we opened it up, and, you know, there was a check in it, and we were able to buy a screen door, which was, you know, a screen door that we hadn't expected. I was hoping for, like, a car. But we got a screen door, and that was better than nothing, almost. And then I had to put that on my taxes. I mean, it was actually more work than the inheritance was worth. But you know, it was kind of cool. It was a fun story to tell anyway about getting an inheritance. I won't be getting one from my mother, I don't think. I'm pretty sure she has nothing. We went and celebrated with her birthday on Monday. She's 99. And the great thing about her being 99 is she doesn't know it. So she gets up like every other day and I have a video of it, actually, where I'm saying, Mom, do you know how old you are? No. You're 99. Oh, I can't be 99. And she says, it's a miracle. And I said, I think you're right. And that's the video. It's about 10 seconds long, but it's kind of cute. And then, like, 20 minutes later, Mom, do you know how old you are today? No. So she knows us. And we can have a conversation that mostly makes sense. But 5 minutes later, we can have the exact conversation. And that's just her existence these days. But she's 99. And I won't be getting an inheritance from her. But my inheritance from her is more important than money I would get. Isn't it? You know, she and my dad raised me in a Christian home. Couldn't have a better inheritance than that. You know, they told me about the Lord at a very early age. And even though I strayed, you know, that raise up a child in the way should go was very true with me. Came back to the Lord. But I started with the Lord. And it was because I had parents who loved the Lord. And they loved me. But that's the inheritance you want. You want an inheritance that's from the Lord. Now, your inheritance from the eternal realm is a little different from that. But it's, you know, physically, you know, it's free from suffering and pain. That we'll see in eternity. We certainly don't see that now. Emotionally, no more sorrow. You know, joy forever. We don't see that now. We see that in eternity. Spiritually, relationally, we can have perfect peace now. We're just deflecting all this other stuff that comes our way, but God gives you peace. God gives you peace. You can have that now. God gives you grace. You can experience that now. I trust everyone here is experiencing God's grace. This life, like for my mom, might seem really long, but years ago when she was still in her 90s, I would talk to her when she could have long conversations and remember things, and she would almost always say, "It went by so fast." You know, you think that, don't you? It just went by so fast. Each day may seem like an eternity, but the whole thing seems to go by so fast. And it does. You know, it's just, if I could snap my fingers, I'd do it. It's that quick compared to eternity. And you think how short this time is and how long it is that we'll spend with God in eternity. It's just, it's an amazing thing. Okay, 6. And I only have 6 points today. I can't remember the last time I had a sermon with 6 points, but this is it. In Christ, I have the Holy Spirit who secures my future. So, that's the seal on the deal. The Holy Spirit secures my future. Here's the verse, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. Jesus said he'd always be with us, and then he left. How did that make any sense? Can you imagine being, you know, seeing Jesus ascending and he's saying, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth," and then he leaves. So how did that make any sense? Well, because he left the Holy Spirit. And in a matter of days, the Holy Spirit came on those people and just turned the world upside down. Certainly turned their world upside down, but ultimately turned this world upside down, people being able to do amazing things in the name of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, that's the guarantee. That's the proof. Doing amazing things in the name of God. God working through you. It's not you going out there doing amazing things. It's not you skydiving and doing all these spectacular things. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. And you're doing amazing things. That's why it's so important always to give God the glory. Because it's not about us. We were talking about Dave Larson, Dr. David Larson, who was our interim pastor a few times here over the years. And he was such an amazing storyteller. Even this morning, I was thinking of stories that he told that I could still tell. And he told a story about a cat that died. Do you remember that story? The story that, and here's the thing, I don't just remember the story, I remember why he told the story. Sometimes you can remember a story like, now I don't know what that was for, but he was making a point about digging up old stuff and how it just never is very valuable. It's just not very, you know, you can dig up old stuff and what do you do with it? The best thing you can do is bury it again for the most part. And it's like, why did I ever dig that up? Now, why did you go dig that up? You've heard people say that. Why did you go dig that up again? You know, we took care of that. Well, when Dr. Larson was a little boy in Minnesota, see, I'm doing it. So he was a little boy in Minnesota, and I think he lived on a farm, and they had a little kitty that they really loved. And you remember the story. And the kitty died. The kitty died. And they loved that little kitty. And I can't tell it like he did. But they just loved that little kitty. And they put it in a shoebox, you know, and they all got around and they buried the kitty. And long summers in Minnesota when you're a little kid, nothing to do. And so, like late July, they're thinking, how is Kitty doing? Not good. That's how he told the story. And if I was really doing my Dr. Larson, I would do it in his voice. So then put Kitty back in the box, and they buried him again, and it was fine. And then, you know, it was September, and school hadn't started yet. How was Kitty doing? Worse. That's his story. I mean, what a perfect story for digging up old stuff. It just gets worse and worse. It doesn't help. So are you an Adam today? Are you an Adam today? Because if you're in Christ, this is a great day. It's a great day to worship Him. It's a great day to come together and just be reminded how blessed we are. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We don't even know what all that is yet. We don't know what our full inheritance is yet. Your mom knows. How cool is that? How cool is that? Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we are truly blessed by you. That even before the foundations of the world, you chose us. You adopted us. You knew all that would happen. You knew that you would send Christ to save us. You knew that you would give us the opportunity to have faith in you. You knew who would choose yes, who would deny you. And you have a plan that in no way will be thwarted by anyone in heaven or on earth. And that plan is that we come to know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this week. Thank you for this week to serve you, to know you better. We thank you for this week, this Memorial Day weekend, when we think of those who we have lost, and that we honor them, but mostly, Lord, that we honor you in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.